Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
What a joy it is to be at the Village Bible Center and fellowship with Pastor Jamie Saxon, his family, and then meet some friends like Brother Jacob and his family, and Luke and his family. And then we have Will this morning. Yesterday, Pastor J.J. Saxon and I were able to go, and Pastor Saxon shared the gospel with me, and at the end of the conversation, both were kneeling down, and Will was in tears, and I believe he trusted the Lord to survive, and he is in the house of God today. Amen?
Amen.
I look forward to something very soon to get my talk, and be a strong member of the church and love the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Many men being in Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Pastor Casey, once again, for having me here and allowing me to bring the Word of God this morning to your wonderful congregation. So happy to stand here. I thank God for this opportunity and thank Pastor JJ for this opportunity. And I come all the way from Goa, India. Goa is a state. India is a country. And in Goa, I pastor the Great and True Baptist Church. I started that church in the year 2007 with 5 stools and 4 broken chairs in my mom's living room. And today, in the year 2016, from 2007 to 2020, 16 years later, we are having 150 people gathering every Sunday, saved, baptized, and the members of our church are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We are serving the Lord in many different ways. Our church has many different ministries. We feed the children on the street. We educate the children in the slum. We help 200 children in the slum. Go to school, study, and we go to their homes, share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because soup and soap may not help you internally, it may help you outside, but only salvation helps you inside.
Amen.
And so we see that salvation is the most important factor of our ministry. And then we are training young men in the Bible College. We have a Bible College called Disciples Baptist Bible College. Young men from different states in India will come and get trained in our Bible College, and then they go out and plant new churches. So we train many, but 27 stay faithful, and 27 of them are in different parts of India who have planted Bible-believing churches and pastoring their churches. Recently, we were able to plant a church in Mumbai, a church in Bengal, and a church in Orissa, and Delhi. We are so happy. The Lord is using this young man to go out and promote the Word of God and plant Bible-believing churches, and we are able to support them financially. And I'm also on the TV preaching the gospel 3 times a day, 24 minutes each. I preach the gospel to 8 million people on the television, and it is spreading every day. And so please pray for our ministry. See how you can be play a part in our ministry, stand in the gap for us, pray for us, encourage us, and pray for my wife, Grace. She's from Nebraska, and the Lord miraculously brought us together. That story I will tell you this evening. If you will come, you'll be happy that you came this evening to hear the story about how the Lord brought a woman from Nebraska and made a wife to a man in India. And how did that all happen? A fairy tale. You come and hear the story this evening as I share the story in what happened and how the Lord brought me and my wife together. We are married for 10 years with 4 beautiful, gorgeous, handsome looking young men. My oldest son is 9 years old, second is 7 years old, third is 4 years old, and fourth is 2 years old. And right now we are in Nebraska, spending time with our grandma and grandma, for my wife and son with their parents. I'm traveling and preaching the Word of God. And so, thank you once again. Turn your Bible with me today to 2 Chronicles. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I've been studying the book of 2 Chronicles. And so, my sermon comes out from this book. Third of our and sermon, do my best to stop people that. But if you think I'm going on, just raise your hand. Or writing a piece of paper and say, hey, I edit it. I will know it doesn't mean keep, it means keep it short, stupid. So I'll do that. So turn your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we are going to look at, this is a long chapter, so I'm not going to read all that, but we will jump from verse to verse and see what the Lord has in store for you and for me as a Christian and as a church, how God wants us to behave, how God wants us to walk, what God wants us from our life. So, in verse number 3, chapter number 20, verse number 3, the word of God says that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. That's called the Lord's Prayer. Our dearest loving Heavenly Father, this morning we are thankful that we can open the Scripture and we can hear you speak to us through the preacher of God. We pray that God will fill us with your Holy Spirit, give us a receptive heart and a alert mind. Father, I pray without coming behind thy cross so that Jesus Christ may be glorified today through the preaching of the word. Bless us, O God, with your message. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. And all God's people say it. Amen. When we read this chapter, we understand that three great multitude, a great company of army, are coming to attack Jehoshaphat and Judah. They want to destroy this nation. They are coming to make a war. They're coming for battle. That's what we see in verse number 1. It came to pass after these, that also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. They want to destroy Jehoshaphat. They want to destroy Judah. And when enemies come against you, there's one thing that happens in yours and my life, is we fear. We are afraid. We are filled with anxiety and we don't know what's going to happen. And immediately, if you are a child of God, when the human fear grips within us, what do you do? I believe you fear and you run to God. We run to God and we pray to God and we want God to take control of the situation because we know that if we will run to God, God is able to take care of us. I believe with all my heart, when God's people show trust upon Jesus Christ, when God's people fear God, God will give you wisdom and God will give you protection. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear God, God will give you wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come by reading many books. By reading many books you may have knowledge, but on your knees in the fear of God, that's how you get wisdom. And so in verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. He fears because the enemies are coming to battle. He fears because he's going to be destroyed. He fears because Judah is going to be destroyed. And he feared and he ran to God. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared. You know what he did when he feared? He did not use his logic and his tactics and his knowledge. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. The first thing that he did was he feared God and he sought God and he fasted and he called the people to fast. In this day and age, a lot of Christians believe in feasting more than fasting more. We feast more and fast less, and so we see the power there in our lives. Fasting has a great, great effect in every Christian life. We also fast sometimes, that's it. If you're going to fast every week, you should fast every week. Monday at least once in a month. If you can't fast at least once in a month, at least once in a week you have to fast. My grandmother was 103 years old and she fasted every Friday and she read her Bible all the time. She never went to the hospital, she never went to the doctor, she was fully healthy and when she was 103 years old, while she was on the bed, she knew that she is dying. She said, God is calling me. And this is the word she uttered in her mouth. Praise the Lord. And she died. She was 103. Last day before Friday, and she prayed, she read the Bible. Every time I saw her, she fasted and prayed. Every time I went to meet her, she didn't know I was, she was losing her memory. But one thing she knew, and she said this, and she asked me, who are you? I said, I am your grandson, I'm Lord's son. She said, no matter what you do, keep your heart very pure, that there be no sin in your heart. And she said that to everyone that went to meet her, keep your heart pure, that there be no sin in your heart, because your body is the temple. Fasting makes us draw more closer to the Lord. Fasting shows that we are sinners. And what Jehoshaphat did was, he sought God this morning we saw. As long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. And if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you set your eyes on the Lord, God will take care of you, dear friend. Your blessing and your security and your hair does not fall in the White House, but in the Lord's house. So don't put your faith too much on the president of the nation. Put your faith more on the Lord Jesus Christ. People are more involved in politics and wondering who is going to be the next president, who is going to help us, who is going to make us prosperous. Let me tell you this. No president can make your life better anymore. This world will become more and more worse until the Lord comes and brings peace. Yeah. But until then, as Christians, if you and I will keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to take care of you. It's going to be fine. He'll make you go through the fighting furnace. And even if you fall in the lion's den, He's going to shut the mouth of the lion and He will take care of you. He's not promising that He will not put you in the lion's den. He didn't say that you will not go to the fighting furnace, but He said, even if you go to the fighting furnace, I will be with you. He said, even if they throw you in the lion's den, I will let the lion's mouth shut. And for that, you and I ought to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast in the fiery furnace, you know what happened? They didn't put their eyes on the fire, but they put their eyes on the Son of God. That's why the fourth person, the Son of God, was with them in the fiery furnace. When Daniel was put in the lion's den, Daniel did not put his eyes on the lion, but he put his eyes upon the Lord God of Israel. So keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast for all Judah. They drew closer to God. Verse 8. The Bible says, Jehoshaphat is praying. He fasting was in the nation, and now he's praying to God. And his prayer is amazing. We know about Daniel's prayer, we know about Solomon's prayer, we know about David's prayer, but hardly we talk about Jehoshaphat's prayer. But if you will read his prayer in the scripture, your life will be transformed if your life's prayer is in your life. And in verse number 8, they, and they dwell, he's praying now, this is his prayer, and he says, and they dwell therein, and I built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying. So what he's saying, he's reminding God in prayer, oh God, your people are dwelling in the house of God. My dear friend, this morning, you and I need to stay and dwell in the Lord's sanctuary. God has given you a beautiful building here. How beautiful is this? Wonderful pews and great pulpit and a wonderful building. Now, you are truly blessed. Now, we don't have that capability, but you are truly blessed. Now, we are blessed in our own ways. You are blessed in your own ways. You know what God wants you and me to do? As God's children, we are supposed to be dwelling in the house of the Lord. That's what David said. One thing I desire of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and sing His praise and worship the beauty of His holiness. The King of Israel, the King of Judah, David, the man of the God's own heart, he has seen everything. His desire was not entertainment. His desire was not wealth. He had everything. He had it. But he knew what was more important. He said, "One thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord." God's people should be passionate. God's people should be hungry. God's people should be looking ahead to be in the house of the Lord on the Sunday morning. Too many Christians want to say, "Oh, Pastor, you know, I love the church. I love you, Pastor. I'm with you in my spirit." That sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? Pastor, I'm going to be on my computer and watch through the internet. I'm going to watch. You know, I can't come to the church today because my mother-in-law is going to come. I can't come to the church because I can't go for a football match. Today there is the Christians have all kinds of excuses, and God says, we got to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Forsake not the assembling of the saints, as the Bible says, for so many of them have forsaken. God says, no, thank God for you. I salute you. I praise God for you today. Then you woke up in the morning, you got dressed up, and you came into the house of the Lord with a Bible in your head, with a heart of desire to worship God and praise Him. And that ought to be our desire to simply go and praise Him, friend. Be in the house of the Lord. If you love your wife, where will you go in the night? You go back to your wife in the house. Am I right? If you love your husband, where will you go in the night? Go back to your husband in the house. Am I right? Yeah. If you love God, where will you go on the day of the Lord? You should be in the house of God. Don't tell me you love God and stay home and watch your movies. Don't tell me you love God and you watch your football match. Don't tell me you have some. No. I don't believe that. If you love we as Christians ought to make excuses to be in the house of God. We have to make excuses and talk about the same Lord. We dwell, they dwell there. That was their lie. We want to be in the house of God. We want to serve you. We want to fellowship with God's people. Encourage one another. You know, when you were saved, the meaning of your salvation is when you got saved, you were passionate about reading the Bible, passionate about praying and passionate about telling him that, and you were looking forward for Sunday to come. You were ready on Sunday morning, Monday morning, and waiting and counting days, so when Sunday will come, so I can go to church. And then 3 years later, 4 years later, we became a little bit cold. God said, no, come back. Bring back your first love. That coldness ought to go. God, you are fire for God. Be passionate for God. The Lord is going to come back. The evil in this world is increasing. When God's people should not be sleeping like Jonah, we need to arise and call upon our God. The Muslims pray 5 times a day. The Jewish pray 3 times a day. The Hindus pray during their night. Christians ought to get up in the morning on Sunday, get dressed for the Lord, get your Bible in your hand, and be in the house of Lord and dwell in the house of the Lord. You've got to be passionate in the house of the Lord because God's business is through the house of God today. There are three institutions God has instituted. One is the family, second is the government, and third is the church. And the devil is taking everything day by day. Family is destroyed today. God said, man ought to marry a woman. The man is marrying a man, woman is marrying a woman. The devil has taken over. The government, God instituted, so God can rule over the people. No, and he ruined everything. And then God used to give the church and say, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The devil came and he looked at the poor people, he looked at those Christians who are bitter and envious and cold and who are angry with their preacher and angry with everything. And you know what the devil did? The devil was dead. And today we find churches compromising. We see churches today going away from God's word. We see churches today cold and become more worldly. And people come into the church and they see the world. People go to the world and see a church. People are confused about why church and what the world is. Thank God. Thank God for many churches in America who are still holding to the word of God, who are still praising the Lord Jesus Christ, who are still worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep on doing what you are doing. Keep on giving on and help the Lord and set your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwell, 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 stay in the house of God. Father and mothers, if you will do that, your children will stay in the house of God. Raise your children in the house of God. And you be in the house of God. Don't tell your children go to church. Don't tell your children go to pray. Don't tell your children read your Bible. Show them how to go to church. Come with them into the house of God. Be with them in the prayer. We ought to set God's example to our children. And they will follow you. And they will follow everything that you do more than what you say. Everybody okay? Because people, you know what? God has to be to stay in the house of God because people are wondering today. Our minds can wonder right now. You know what God told to Moses? God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to come up there. I want you to come. I want to give you tablets, two tablets for your headache. No, he said, I'll give you two tablets of law. I want the people of God to know how to live a life. I want you to come. And when Moses got up and he took Joshua and took off and told Joshua, you wait here, I'll just go up and meet God and come back. But God made it very specific. This is what God said. Moses, come up and be here. You know what he said? Be there. Everybody say, be there.
Be there.
He said, be there. You know what? Because it's possible to go up there and not be there. It's possible to be in the house of God and not be here. It's possible to listen and not only not hear. God says, be there. It's possible to sit here and thinking about what I'm going to cook in the afternoon. Yeah. It's possible to be here and think about whom am I going to visit this evening. And God says, no. Why you are here? Be here. Be there. Which means intentionally, purposely, you bring your heart and your mind and your intentions and bring it under subjection and say, I am not going to allow my mind to loiter and wander here and there while I am in the house of God. I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to dwell in the house of God. I'm not going to allow the devil to get control of my mind. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Keep thine heart in all the nations, for out of it are the issues of life. God said, hey, control your heart, control your mind. Bring it under subjection. When it tries to avoid you, when it tries to go away, tell your heart and mind, I'm not going to allow this to happen. Be here. Psalm 42, you look at that, and David is saying, why art thou cast down my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You talk to yourself and say, I'm not going to wander. I'm going to be here in the house of God. Intentionally, purposely. When the preacher preaches, I want to hear every word that he preaches. When you sing, I'm going to sing every stanza that is told to you, son. You're going to be here dwelling. With my heart, mind, and soul. I'm not just going to be in the spirit. I'm going to be here with my body, with my soul, and my spirit. Because, Pastor, I will be there in the spirit. I cannot come to the church. But I'll be there in the spirit. No, you cannot worship God in the spirit alone. You cannot. God didn't make you a man of spirit. God made you a sleeper, but I, in the body, 23 verses. Psalm 103 verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that has been in me, bless His holy name. John chapter 4 verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I submit to them, O brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So you bring your body, you bring your soul, and you bring your spirit to worship the triune God. We cannot say, hallelujah. There is no way. It doesn't happen. We try to fool others. We cannot. I believe you are here today with your body, soul, and spirit. Worshiping God. Praise God to you. Keep on giving God, dear beloved. Keep serving your Lord. Fight a good fight of faith. Don't give up. Verse number 12. I love it. Oh, our God. Joseph is still praying. Oh, our God. Wilt thou not judge us? For we have no mind against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Oh, dear friend, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything, because if you do what, well, when you don't do anything, you will ruin everything. Listen to this. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Because if you do something when you don't know what to do, you will ruin everything. When you don't know what to do, set your eyes simply on the Lord and let God take control of your situation. Oh Lord, I don't know what to do. My children are going very well. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to put my eyes upon you. God is going to take care of the children. Oh God, there's some issue going on with my marriage. I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know what to do, oh God. I'll set my eyes upon you. God will take care of your marriage. Dear friend, the Bible is not difficult. The Bible is easy. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us. What we need to do is not worry about what we don't understand. We have to be worried about what we understand already. And God says, I've given you the Holy Ghost, and you obey the Scripture, and you do what the Word of God says, when you don't know what to do, set your eyes on the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what to do about my financial life. I don't know what to do about my children going to be with. I don't know what to do about my daughter being rebellious. I don't know what to do about my husband who's drinking. I don't know what to do about my wife who's not submissive. I don't know what to do about my husband not loving and kind. I don't know what to do about my spiritual life. But God, I don't know what to do about my neighbor. And God will say, baby, darling, sweetheart, my child, my daughter, don't do anything when you don't know what to do. Set your eyes upon me. Set your eyes upon me. God says, put your eyes. You know what Peter did? When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, oh God, if it's you, tell me, can you come? I want to walk. And Jesus said, you want to walk? And Peter walked on the water. Peter walked. Peter kept looking at Jesus and started walking. Oh God, this is amazing. God, is this way through? I'm walking on the water. And he walked on the water because his eyes were on Jesus. Until he put his eyes on his eye and looked at the waves and the storm. And the moment he put his eyes away, he began to drown. But thank God, while he was drowning, he called upon the Lord and put his eyes again upon the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up. Hallelujah. The Lord lifted him up. Today you might be some of you maybe, I feel like I'm drowning in my life. I feel like my children are drowning in their life. I feel like this is what is happening in my life. But dear friend, you might be drowning, but keep your eyes on the Lord and see and watch how the Lord will lift you up. As the psalmist said, I lift up my eyes unto the hills where whence cometh my help. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord. When you don't know what to do, put your eyes upon the Lord. Don't fight your unnecessary battles. There are many battles that you are not supposed to be fighting. You are supposed to keep your eyes on the Lord. Joseph said, oh God, I know I'm a warrior, I didn't fight, I have an army, but this is a large army. The three company of multitude coming to battle against us. I'm afraid, I don't know what to do. But our eyes are something in my life, or you might have changed. And if you as a father and mother are so concerned about your children and so helpful for your children, think about it. How much more our Heavenly Father is concerned about you and me. Set your army to follow the Lord Jesus. God will take you. Dwell in the house of God. Dwell in the house of God. Look at verse 13. And all who have stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Look at that. They didn't say, husband and the other wife, I don't feel like coming, I know there's a battle, I don't think they're fasting, but you go to the church with the children, I'm not coming. The wife didn't say, well, today, last night I had a rough night, I didn't get sleep, you take the children and go to church. No, that's not what the wife said. The children didn't say, oh my, I was sitting there watching this video game, I played the video game, daddy, mommy, I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wife, and their children. The whole family came before the Lord. The whole family came before the Lord. Husband, wife, make a commitment. Fathers and mothers, make a commitment. Daddy and mommy with children, make a commitment. I am not going to be in my house on Sunday. I want to be in the house of God with my wife, with my husband, with my children, with my father, with my mother. I want to be in the house of God together as a family. That's what God says. That's what God wants. That is the will of God that we do in Christ Jesus concerning humanity. All Jesus is before the Lord with your little ones and your wives and your children. They made excuses to be in the house of the Lord. They didn't make excuses to go out, but to be in the house. Do God's business with your whole family. Your whole family. Encourage your children. Encourage your wife. Encourage your husband. Encourage your parents. Encourage your when you're in a relationship. Be in the house of God. God wants it. Don't let the devil take control of your church. He has taken control of many churches. But you don't allow him to take control. You stay faithful. You be in the house of God. And if you think that your children are gone in the world, your husband is gone in the world, the wife is gone in the world, you get on your knees, put your eyes on the Lord, you stay faithful in the house of God, and you do what God has called you to do. You stay faithful, and God will see that he will reward you for your faithfulness. He knows that. We worship a living God. We're not worshiping a dead God, a dumb God, a made God. We're worshiping a living God who rose again on the third day out of the tomb. Alive for that. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, then day upon Jehoiakim, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattathiah, Levi, the son of Asa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation of the king, and he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou be Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. There are many battles today. There are many battles in your life. It's not your battle. You simply fight. You simply spend time fighting about and making enmity because of politics. We are fighting against democratic and free politics. It's not our battle. The Lord will fight your battle. You just keep faith, be faithful to the Lord. You just love the democratic, you just love the Republican, show the love of Jesus Christ, and you stay faithful to the word of God. It's not your battle. You keep your eyes on the Lord. It's God's battle. God will fight your battle. Whatever your battles are today, keep your eyes on the Lord. It's that simple. We are fighting a battle which is not ours. There are many battles we are fighting. We have to simply keep our eyes on the Lord. Tomorrow you may go home and say, oh, Again, a big problem. Lord, I don't know what to do. Remember, when you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on the Lord and stay faithful. God will take care of your situation. Financial situation, family situation, ministry, job, business, quality, whatever health, God will take care of. I can preach this message with such great confidence because I know that the God that I serve is a living God. He is a miracle-working God, and He is a wonder-working God, and He will do great wonders in your life if you set your eyes upon the Lord. Don't fight unnecessary battles by your own strength. Let God do what He's supposed to do. You do what He's supposed to do. And what He's supposed to do is put your eyes on the Lord all the day. Lord, I'm going to be in the church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to be kind to my husband. I'm going to submit to my husband. I'm going to be obedient to my parents. I'm going to be submissive to my pastor. I'm going to help you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to be supportive to my church. Oh God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to fight the battle unnecessarily. I'm going to keep my eyes upon you because I know your word says you take care of me. I'm going to show you something great very soon. Stay with me in verse number 14 as you see. Every battle belongs to God. If you are living a surrendered life, every battle. This man says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. It may be a big problem. It may be a problem of a huge problem. Big multitude. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Set your eyes on the Lord. It's the Lord's battle. He'll fight for you. He cares about you. You know there are two people care about you more in this world? Because you're so precious. He cares about your soul. He thinks you are very precious. The devil is after your soul and Jesus is after your soul. You know why these two people are fighting? Because they know how precious your soul is. The devil wants to get the soul and take it to hell. Because you're precious. And he wants to take you to hell. But Jesus knows that you are precious. And He died for your soul. He died for you on the cross of Calvary by sharing His precious blood. And you were buried and He rose again on the third day to give you salvation, to give you victory, to give you a new hope in heaven. Because you're precious. That's important to you. And if you're precious to God, then God will fight your battle. For me, my children are very precious. And I fight the battle for my children. How much more God will fight your battle? Because you are God's child. So in verse number 17, He shall not need to fight in this battle. He shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself standing still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not! Not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him. For the Lord will be with you. I'm going to look at this encouragement for us. Don't be afraid. You need not fight in this battle. You stand yourself standing still and see the salvation of the Lord. You just do what God wants you to do. If your eyes are on the Lord, be in the house of God. Read your word, read your Bible, be faithful to your husband, be faithful to your wife, be faithful to your parents, serve the Lord, worship Him, and you will see God doing miracles in your life. It's not your battle. You are not fighting battle. The Lord will fight your battle. Verse number 18, and Jerusalem bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You know what God wants us to do? God doesn't want you to battle and have battle. He wants you to worship. And your worship should be honest, your worship should be pure, and your worship should be humble. Come with humility before God and honesty before God, pure heart and say, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm going to sing. I'm going to give as I'm supposed to give. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give you a tithe. I'm going to give more. Because you have blessed me more, and I'm going to worship you, I'm going to enter into somebody, I'm going to listen to God's word, I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. constant purity. Verse number 19. In the Levites, the children of Kohathites, and the children of Korai stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. When you sing, you sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We are singing loudly for the glory of God. The Bible says, "Lift your voice and make a loud noise unto the Lord." Amen. You know, we sit in front of television and we watch this football game, and when somebody scores, you know, automatically we want to shout and we want to slam. We want to shout out here. When we come to the house of God, our voice doesn't open. Pastor, no, make a joyful noise. Hey, we need some cheerleaders in the church also, by the way, with proper clothing. We need some cheerleaders when the preacher stands and preaches the word of God, and the word of God comes and gives to the heart, and something encourages, and you feel that God has called and gave you that great message. You got to be shouting, "Amen, preacher!" We need some cheerleaders in the house of God. And you'll notice that when we have cheerleaders in the house of God, the preacher's message will be powerful, and the preacher will be more pumped out, and he's going to preach the word of God, he's going to work out more in the word of God and bring a message, because he knows my people are hungry and they want to encourage me and they want to receive the message that God gave. And they are hungry, they are thirsty. When God's people become passionate and excited about God's word, we need some cheerleaders in the house of God. Not just in football match, a soccer match, a basketball match, but in the house of God. That's why we shout, "Amen! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" Everybody okay? And so verse number 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that could break the beauty of holiness, and they went up. You know, we're not coming here to sing, "I worship me. I worship me. The reason I live by thee is to worship me. When I look into my holiness." That is not why we come into the house of God. We come to sing praises and worship the beauty of His holiness. Amen? There are some people who think, you know, we don't sound like, we sing like them. "I surrender all." My wallet, by the way. "I surrender all." I don't think I can give my offering today. "All to thee, my precious, precious Savior. I surrender." I don't think I can surrender all. No. Just trust in God. He's going to take care of you. Just do it right. Honestly, with purity, and with humility. Look at verse number 22. Verse number 22. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went." I want you to be very careful to listen to this. I can say this because this is what God will say. Sometimes if I say this thing in my church, people will think I'm manipulating. Or if you're preacher, may say, you might come down the altar, "Oh, how you turn the scripture into such a way." No, let me say, and listen to this word carefully, watch with me, and read. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem.'" Forget it. "Believe in the Lord your God." You believe in God? Okay, very good. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." Now next. "Believe his promise, and he believe his prophet, so shall he prosper." You cannot come in the house of God and expect a full blessing if you only believe in God. If you say, "I believe in God, but I don't believe in preaching what he's preaching," you're going to go with half blessing. Or you might not go with a blessing with God. God is watching your heart. If you say, I'm going to praise God and I'm not going to listen to what the preacher preaches. God said, you believe in me, you also believe in the prophet. We have to believe in our preacher when he preaches the word of God. We also believe that the message that he's bringing is for my spiritual growth, is for my family. I believe in my preacher, I tend to my preacher, I support my preacher. My word of God says, I've got to believe in God, and I ought to believe in my preacher also. You know, you can come and worship God and go home, and then on your lunch table, you can roast your preacher. I think he was hinting at me today. I think my wife called him up and told him about me. That's why he was preaching there. I think my husband might have gossiped about me to my preacher. That's why he was hinting at me. No. A preacher doesn't need to hear all those things. God speaks through the preacher when he stands up and preaches the word of God. He doesn't need to hear anything, because when God wants you to hear, the preacher will say, and that's the reason why God's people should believe in God and believe in the preacher and believe in what he preaches. That's when the faith increases, faith increases. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And who preaches the word of God? The preacher. And you think with a doubt in your mind, criticizing it, and you bitter against your preacher, your faith will not increase, your family will not change, your spiritual life will go wayward. And that's why God said, hey, I don't want you to ruin your spiritual life. I don't want you to hinder your blessing. I want you to believe in me, and I want you to believe in my servant. Every Christian, every church member should believe in God and believe in your pastor. That's where prosperity comes in. That's what the Bible says. Look at it again. I didn't write the Bible. This is not Washington Rock version. This is God's word. And God says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall he prosper. If you want God to prosper your family, believe in God and your preacher. If you want God to prosper your business, believe in God and your pastor. If you want God to prosper your children, believe in God and your pastor. If you want God to prosper your health, believe in God and your pastor. Loving, supporting, praising, encouraging, appreciating, depending. When people come and speak bad about your preacher to you, depend your preacher.
There are bells that you bend in today. You may have a dream to be altered today. Maybe the battle of your sickness, battle of your family, battle of your children, battle of your relationship, battle of your wife and your husband.